Thanks for joining me on the podcast today. I'm so happy to have you. If you're in Utah, it has been a few rainy days, so hopefully this episode will brighten your day as it did mine, and I am just so excited. There's lots of fun things happening in April, with St. Patrick's Day and Pi Day, and my family celebrates Mario Day. And then also Easter is in March this year. So there's also coming up on March 22nd, a Miss Utah America pageant. And my guest today, Amanda, and I are going to talk more about that in our interview. But I just wanted to let you know right off the bat so you can mark your calendar. So without any delay, let's get to the interview. All right. I'm here with Amanda. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Doing good. It's always funny in the podcast world because we kind of have a pre-conversation and then the conversation, you know, but it just feels like that's the way to do it. So
like, this is how we start. I'm having a wonderful day. Thanks for asking.
Right. I know. Okay. Well, we'll get more into the nitty gritty. Tell us a little bit about you and then we'll just go from there.
So I'm Amanda McCombs. I've lived in Daybreak for a while, like a lot longer than I thought now that I think about it, for almost 8 years.
Wow.
No way. Yeah. I'm sorry, because my daughter is 7, and I was pregnant with her when we moved in. So that's crazy. I didn't even think about that. My husband and I have been married since 2015, and I do a lot of things. I'm a first grade teacher. Between the two of us, we have 5 kids. We're a blended family, and that comes with a lot of joy and challenges. And then recently, I became Mrs. Daybreak.
Talk more about that later. I'm so curious about that part. But before we do that, let's dive in a little bit more to who you are as a person, and then we'll move into what you do. So what is one of your favorite indoor activities and what's a favorite outdoor activity?
Okay. Can I do 2 for each?
I guess.
Thank you. I'm a rule breaker. Audiobooks and video games for me, for inside activities. I just love being outside. And I love paddleboarding, which is kind of new-ish to me, but I love hiking.
That's so neat. I wish I loved nature more. My husband and I, we say we love the great indoors, but there is something to be said about outdoors. There is a place for nature too. So
my husband and I are opposite. Like he could just stay inside all day long and cozy up and do all the things, and I get antsy if I'm cooped up too long.
Yes, so true. Well, good thing we have each other because my husband's like that too. And then I'm a little bit more inclined to go outdoors. So
You're not both trapped in the house all day long.
Yes. Well, you mentioned you do a lot of things. What are some of the hats that you wear?
The mom hat is probably the first hat, the mom and stepmom hat. And then this year I teach first grade and it's my first year being back at it. I'm a teacher, but all those, I might as well be all their moms anyway. I don't know. I'm a caregiver. I take care of animals. And I do, like, you know, the chauffeur hat and the whatever hat. And we don't even need to talk about, like, all the things that come with the teacher hat, because it's not just a teacher hat. It's, like, a lot of teacher hats.
That's so true. And props for, I taught second grade for 3 years, and it is a job.
They're little energy vampires.
Yes, that's a good term for it. I love it. Well, what is one of your core values? What drives you the most?
Oh, yeah, that one. I was really trying to think about it because, you know, values change over time.
That's true.
I think authenticity and being able to live your true self. That's so hard to get to, but it's really important.
So true. I have shared before that I feel like we come to the earth without any programming, and then we get all the societal and, you know, expectations put upon us, and then we just kind of have to unravel that to get back to ourselves.
Yeah. I think one of the things I've really learned through, like, everything that I'm going through is that I have to let go of other people's expectations of me and make sure I'm living up to my own before I'm, like, doing anything else.
Yeah. That's so good, because like you said, with the kids and the energy vampire, that's what society can be too if we let it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially like social media and all the other things. Like, you kind of can get lost very easily and forget what makes you who you are. Like, I had to really think about what my favorite indoor and outdoor activities were, because I hadn't really thought about it before. It's just like whatever my kids do, you know? But since I've been able to do those things and like be more authentic to who I am, I'm a lot happier and my life is a lot easier. And there's so much I don't have to worry about. Forget so those true. People.
Yes. So good. Great. Well, my go-to is adversity. I love talking about how challenges refine us and shape our character. So I know it's a loaded question, but what's something that you've experienced that shaped your character?
How far back do we want to go?
How much time do you have?
Like, are we going to start charging? Is this a therapy session? Very recently, we'll just go back to February last year. Okay. We could go back further, but that's the easiest one. I was diagnosed with shingles and it went through the nerves in my face on this right-hand side. And so now, that was a year ago, I can't feel any of this at all. And if I can feel it, so like great when I'm getting waxed and stuff, right? But when I can feel it, it's like pins and needles or throbbing and aching pain, because shingles is just chicken pox, right? But once you have chicken pox, it just stays in your spine until it's ready. And usually you're like old or broken, or I didn't think I was either one of those things. Apparently I am. So then I couldn't look at any light. And I have like such bad, bad, bad light and sound sensitivity. I couldn't even hear anybody talking around me. Like, I was wearing earplugs and like riding in the car with my husband, I would wear one of those sleeping masks. And I had just, I finally got a paddleboard like the summer before. Yeah. Couldn't go paddleboarding. I finally got to go like towards the end of the summer, but then like I couldn't see, like the snow today, we had some snow. I couldn't see outside watching the kids for recess. So it still hits me really, really hard. My husband had to drive everywhere. I just felt like I was a burden. And I couldn't do anything with my kids. Like I love reading. And I couldn't read anymore. I was reading Matilda to my daughter. And it was too much. Like my eyes couldn't focus. And then I couldn't even hear her talking to me. Like the sound of my own kids' voices was painful. And like, what do you do when you're sick, right? You read or you watch movies or you listen to books or music or whatever. I couldn't do anything. So headphones, mask on, like totally covered up, blinds drawn. I'd be like walking like this in the morning to go close all the blinds. And then I got this really cute head tilt because I was shielding like my face all the time like this. I was wearing hats inside. Prescription sunglasses helped, but they didn't help outside. That was still too much. So like months and months and months, I couldn't go outside.
Wow. So what got you through that?
I don't know. I was just thinking a lot. Like I had a lot of time to reflect because all I could really listen to is like my thoughts in my head. I have that narrator, trying to think of my narrator in my head even sounds like my voice. I don't think it does. It's like a totally different person. But yeah. I couldn't even, like, listening to myself breathe hurt. And so I just had a lot of time to think about, like, who I was and what I liked. And I just slept a lot. My eye almost flew out of my head. And also that month, this is February, my mom's house burned down. And they barely made it out alive. They lived up in Preston. And she, like, that's like a totally different thing. But there were all these things happening. And, like, I couldn't even look at pictures. I couldn't read the messages. Like, people calling me. I couldn't even answer phone calls. I just couldn't do anything. But I was a teacher. Mm-hmm. Last year I was a PE teacher. Mm-hmm. My first time. It's probably never going to happen again. But in the gym, there's all those bright lights and sounds and music, and we were like dancing, and I was at like the top of my life. I was like in really, really good shape, and I was doing a job that I kind of love now. It's great. Everything is arts integrated, So we made a nutcracker. It was the coolest nutcracker ever. Not like anyone you would ever see. And then February, I got knocked down. So that. I got my master's. So February 1st, I was diagnosed with shingles. I think it was like the 3rd, I got my graduation notification that I passed everything for my master's degree. My birthday was later that month, my husband's birthday, one of my kids' birthdays, Valentine's Day. And then I think I felt I had a purpose. I feel a pull to, like, I've said this to a couple other people because I haven't really figured out how to explain it. I get this pull where I'm like, somebody needs me. And that I go where I'm directed, right? Yeah. And the school needed me. And I hated not being there. It tore me apart because I love teaching so much. And I couldn't do half the stuff that I wanted to. I couldn't teach PE anymore. No more sugar plum dribble. Like, we can't play all these crazy games that I made up because I couldn't even see.
Yeah.
So then when I was able to go back to work, they were so sweet. I came back as the visual art teacher who couldn't see. I mean, I could see, kind of. But I would wear sunglasses and, like, everything I wrote, because my head's tilted, is all like, I have pain. I couldn't walk straight. It messes with still. If I start to get sick, I can tell because I, like, tip. I can't keep my balance. So, yeah. Like, just from this one thing, my whole life, just I felt like I had my whole life robbed from me. And I didn't even know, like, if I was ever going to really be able to go outside and enjoy any of the stuff that I like, reading or playing video games. Paddleboarding? Out of the question. No way. I finally, when I was able to go back, I knew that the kids needed me, and my time wasn't done yet.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why?
Right?
I was like, what did I do wrong? Just because of all my tattoos? I'm a hellion. Sorry, I drink coffee. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And I tried to give and give and give and give. And then I just felt, I was like, I don't know. I can see now, which is kind of nice. But, like, I think it was just a couple, like, halfway through the school year, I was actually able to, like, read. And so I tell the kids, like, don't you realize how cool this is? We live in such an amazing place where we can see all these things, and we're taking it all for granted. So my whole view of the world just changed, and my priorities shifted. It taught me a lot. Wow. So, I mean, you're spot on with that. Adversity is there for a reason. And it made me so much stronger. Like, I don't know. I tell people about it now, and I'm like, yeah, check this out. I can't feel that. It's my party trick. And they're like, what?
Oh my gosh.
It's a crazy existence right now.
Sure. Wow. That is huge. That is a very big dose of adversity for you. And I think you'll discover the reasons continually your whole life that as you live, you'll find reasons. Even though it's so hard to have gone through that, there will be some good that comes out of it.
Right. That's the hope anyway.
Yes. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing. It's so good to hear that, because I take it for granted. I take all these things for granted, and it's only those reminders that help us get out of that state. So thank you.
Yeah. Oh, deep breath after that one.
Nice. Oh my goodness. And your enthusiasm for life is contagious. I can hear it and feel it. So I love that you're sharing this with us so that we can process that too. Wow. Okay. Well, let's move in a little bit more to what you do. So I love that you love being a teacher, because we need teachers. Oh my goodness. I tell my son's teacher all the time, I'm her biggest cheerleader. I give her all the gifts, all the things, because I've been in that place and I know how hard it is. So how long have you been a teacher?
Oh my gosh. I've taught preschool for years and years and years. And that was like, hold on, I have to do some math. Like, I've been teaching for like 15 years. This is my 4th year in first grade, and I love it.
So good.
If they're taller than me, I can't. Nope.
Right. Oh, I substituted middle school one time, and I told them at that time that I was wanting to be a kindergarten teacher, and they were like, "You're a saint." And I was like, "No, you're a saint." You know, to each their own.
I know. I talk one of our sixth grade teachers and I talk all the time, and I was like, "It's so weird how we have like a lot of the same things happening with our kids, but yours are probably just smellier than mine."
I love it.
Different smell. It's a difference, though.
That's right. So would you say that you're living your dream job, or is there another place you'd see wanting to make an impact?
I have no idea. When I was a kid, I never wanted to be a teacher. I wanted to be a marine biologist. Mm-hmm. And that was shot down because no. Yeah, right? Right? Well, we're not going to do that. Even think that. Yeah. Where are you going to go to school for that? Anyway. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to do writing. I have a crazy email address because I thought I was going to be like a blogger when I grew up, because that was the thing. I'm going to have a podcast soon. And that has kind of been a little bit of a dream of mine. And I was like, that'd be so cool. What if I did this? I could share this with people. And I just think sharing your story is going to have that impact on others. And this is where the pageant comes in, because I'm Mrs. Daybreak, right? Like, how did that happen? Did I know what I was signing up for? Kinda. It's a lot. It's for Mrs. Utah America. And I didn't realize, like, I had no idea that the Mrs. America right now is from Utah. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Did you know that this is the pageant for Miss Congeniality?
Oh. Oh, I did.
You know now. So I get to do an opening number in 6-inch heels and a dress.
Wow.
And that's not anything. No, that was never that. I mean, shingles and the beauty pageant was not on my radar at all.
Yeah.
But like, this is kind of like pulling in more of the other traumatic things that happened, I guess. So we'll fast forward now to the beginning of our school year. And I'm one week in, and I'm talking to my mom in the bathtub, Friday night, first week done. These kids are hard. They're exhausting. Why did I go back to doing this? Was I really ready? And she just kept telling me to take care of myself and to make sure that I was getting what I needed, because all the other times that I've gone into teaching, I'm like making sure the kids are getting their water and drink breaks, but I'm not taking mine. Making sure that they get the food to eat, but then like, what am I going to eat? When do I do that? And I wasn't doing that. That day also happened to be her birthday. And I called kind of late. I didn't want to wake her, but she was already awake. And it was a nice conversation. It was really sweet. And then the next Saturday, she was gone. And I just get a text from my brother saying we have to have... It's like a mass text that we needed to talk because mom died. Like, there's no easy way to say this. Mom's gone. Mom died. And it was not expected at all. Like, she went into the bathroom at a gas station and didn't come back out. She was on her way to go see him. She just picked up a puppy for her birthday. Like, she had no plans to go anywhere. It was a huge, huge shock. Getting notifications. Anyway. So I spiral further into depression. I'm hiding how I'm feeling. I don't want other people to know that I'm not okay. Because I have to be strong, and I have to be like that person that they look to for stability, especially the kids. Like, having different subs in and out, and like my students that young, their social emotional development is so huge. And I just felt like I was abandoning them because of my grief. I wasn't eating at all. I was barely drinking. I was getting a bunch of medical problems, like one on top of another. And then see this lady at my school. She's always in sweats. And she's a huge sponsor for our school. She's always bringing treats in. She's a real estate agent. And I'm friends with her on Facebook. She was in all these sparkly dresses, dancing around with Todrick Hall and all these other pretty ladies and all these sparkly dresses. And I was like, who is this person?
Yes. And
it's like, oh, well, I am the production manager for Mrs. Utah America. And I was like, oh, is that a beauty pageant? She was like, yes, it is. And I was like, I'm going to need a lot of work to be in one of those. And I got a message later on Facebook that said, no, you wouldn't. And she sent me the application. Oh. And she didn't know. You know, I'm hiding. She didn't know how dark I was on the inside. Yeah. It was very dark and twisty. Like, literally going through the motions because I don't know what else to do. I have my kids. I have my family. I have my pets. Probably heard them barking a minute ago. But, like, I wasn't thinking about me in any of it, right? Because that was guilty. I didn't want to feel, I didn't want that guilt of, like, doing the things to take care of myself when I know there's so many others that need me. So I talk about this pageant with my husband and he's like, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, I didn't really, I read the contract before I signed it, obviously, but like, you know what I just found out? You win prizes. I didn't even think what do you do if you win? I didn't think that far. I didn't realize like, okay, yeah, Mrs. Utah America, whatever. Okay, that means you go to Mrs. America. And then you go on to Mrs. World. And so, yeah. But I signed up and I met all the, like, I was intimidated. And I think we all kind of were intimidated of each other because we watched each other on social media and, like, hadn't really gotten to know each other. A lot of them are brand new. There's 19 women in the pageant this year for the Mrs. title and 6 for the Miss. And we're all doing all these things together and never tearing each other down. Oh. We're always there like, oh, I don't have a dress that works with this. Hey, I'm doing this event for this project for funding. Can you guys help? Can you share the word? Like, it's not me, 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 me. It's us. And it's a celebration of how incredible we are. Because all of us have been through something and all of us have stories to share and they deserve to be shared and heard and we're ready, right? And I think you need to be at a point where you can be ready to be vulnerable before you can like do all of that.
Yeah.
But so now I have all these like girl best friends that I didn't know that I could have because I never had them really before, like not close enough that we could actually do something, right? They all live like all across the country, but and they're like there. It's really cool. It's incredible.
I can imagine that you feel so much support and that you've found a community that you can lean on.
Yeah, I haven't had that for a while.
Wow.
So it was really nice.
Yeah, and I love that you bring up the vulnerability that's necessary there. I love plant analogies, and so I've been thinking a lot about being dormant and just how we have to go through this wintering process before we can truly bloom. So that's what I see here.
Yeah. You have to get rid of all the, like, gross, yucky, whatever. And then I have, oh, what are they called? I can't remember. Alliums? I think they're, like, these purple, they grow straight up. They look like lollipops. And when I started, it was just one flower in each spot. And every year, another one gets added. So then it's like more and more and more beautiful. And but you have to take care of it, too. Like, you can't just blit and then come back and be amazing and wonderful. Like, that's not how it works. It takes work. Yeah,
for sure. And like you said with your students, you know, it's not just them. Well, it was just them getting a drink and them eating food. But now hopefully you feed yourself along that. One of my favorite quotes is drink as you pour.
Yes. That's the – I like that because I have – my mom always said never pour from an empty cup. So I like drink as you pour. Well, I sit down and eat lunch with my students.
Yes,
I'll go join them in the cafeteria and we have snack time together and I have a little fridge that's full of things, but like, just like with them, if they're dysregulated and they don't have those basic needs met, they're not sleeping, they're not. And this is part of, I think that it's sad that that's thinking about my students like this is when I was finally like, oh, maybe that's my problem. I'm not getting enough sleep. I'm not getting the food I need. I'm not getting hydrated enough. I'm not being heard. So yeah, helping them
part of the table. All that.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I have that experience that I can pull from, but now I'm like giving that to my students so that they can, they need so to good. Learn that. They need to learn it now.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I love hearing your story because I kind of saw you and knew about you, but I didn't know you. So it's good to get to know you.
We've been like kind of friends for a minute and I've been watching. So it's really nice to talk. And I really love what you do. So thank you.
Yes, thank you. There's so many parallels between being a teacher and being a mom, right? I had a student that said, this was before I had kids, they were like, you're like a mom. You're mean like a mom and you're nice like a mom, right?
Yeah.
So there you go.
That's the vibe in my classroom this year. I've got, one of my students is my own kid. Mm-hmm. So that's probably where it's coming from. But they don't call me mom. They just treat me like I'm mom. Like I had kids, their costumes ripped or coats were worn and I busted out my sewing machine and sewed them up because they needed it, right? Or like I go buy them snacks because they need to eat. Mm-hmm. Or they're not going to be able to learn. And I'm not going to be able to do my job.
Yes. Like you said, we all need our basic needs met and then we can grow further.
Yes.
Well, is there any other thoughts that you had to share or a favorite quote? I always love asking that question.
Oh, you know what one just popped in my head and I haven't thought about it for a really long time? Never let the sun set on tomorrow before the sun rises today.
That's really good.
I think we get discouraged and frustrated with things that happen like today. And so we're not looking forward to things that are coming, but man, it's pretty. I was in the dark for so long, you guys. This world is so cool. And what's fun is I'm learning so much with my first graders. Like we look up all kinds of things, Hubble Space Telescope, whatever, pictures of a black hole. Like the world is really, really cool. We just take it for granted. So get out there and explore it.
Yes. So good. Thank you so much. And I hope everybody comes to the pageant.
Oh my gosh. Yes. March 23rd. Please get, please come. Watch me maybe fall. I only tripped once.
Well, that sounds so fun. I remember going to like my high school, you know, Miss Springville, or Mr. Springville even, but I'm so excited. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've been to a pageant. So yay, fun.
Thank you. I hope you come. I was going to say one more thing and now I don't remember what it is.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
It's okay. You can get ticket and there's a discount code that we can link and stuff too. It's day one, all uppercase. It'll get you $10 off a ticket. And there's also live stream tickets available. So if you can't make it, but you still want to see, like these women, they're amazing. We've worked really hard on this show. And I think everybody should tune in and watch. It's going to be really cool. One last thing to leave you with.
Yes.
I am so sorry because I know we're short on time. You're like kicking me out.
No, you're good.
My mom used to do pageants. And I didn't know that until I was finally able to go up after her death and go through some of the things that she had set aside. And there was her pageant stuff. There's pictures from her in like newspaper clippings, modeling and things like that. So
wow, that is amazing.
Well,
I know she'll be with you on that night and I am so excited to see it. And thank you for all you're doing. To do anything beyond teaching is incredible. So I can't even imagine how you're doing both right now.
They really got me through it all, I think.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. They're your reason, not your excuse, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 100%. Well, hey, thank you so much, Amanda. So good to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on the podcast and I will see you next week. Thank you to Ride the Wave Media and thank you to all who make podcasts possible. Thank you to the listeners. I couldn't do without your support. Be sure to follow me on Instagram @AIsForAdversity.